in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invariably like to make a little introductory announcement for people who may be visiting or new here. Most of you, we know each other, but my name is Steve Rudisill. I'm a retired priest here in the Diocese of Southwest Florida. My wife and I live over in Valrico. She's very active at Holy Innocents Church over there. I am a wandering Aramean in a way. I go around to various churches and help out, especially in the summertime, and it's really great fun to do that. And I have to tell you a confession right at the beginning of this, that when I was a very young child, I was introduced, or beginning to get introduced, to the great stories of the Bible. And I have loved them all along. And so today, when we had the Joseph story, man, I could not resist that story, okay? I am pumped up, okay? But I want to go back a little bit, way back, as a matter of fact, to our ancient spiritual ancestors. And there we will find Abram and Sarah, two very old, childless, married people. Now, of all the choices God had in the world, of all the people God had in the world to choose from, He chose them. He chose them. And He came to them with a remarkable proposition. God, you see, desired to have a powerful relationship with a special people. God would be their God. They would be God's people. And so God said to Abram and Sarah, said, look up at the starry sky. I am going to give you descendants more than that number. Look at the grains of sand in the desert. Your ancestors will outnumber the grains of sand. How, they wondered. How could God make something like that happen from these two old, barren people? God wasn't through. He had another part of the deal. He said, I want you to pack up and move. Everything. I want you to pack up all your relatives, all your animals, all your stuff. Pack it up. I want to move you to a new land. And then finally God says to them, God keeps on going on. God says to them, I'm giving each of you a new name. From this time on, you'll be known as Abraham and Sarah. And they are the beginning of our spiritual ancestors. These two old people. Now, what would you have said to God had you been in their shoes? Some of us who are on the older edge of the things might say, we're kind of comfortable where we are. Thank you, God, but... But they said yes. They said yes. And you know what? The barrenness was transformed into progeny. And they had a son. And the son's name was Isaac. I love to say it in Hebrew, Isaac. It means laughter. Laughter. He was named Isaac, Isaac, because his old mother laughed at God when he told her she was going to have a baby. Isaac grew up and married Rebecca. And they have two sons, twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau, being the firstborn, was to receive the family inheritance, the paternal blessing, the birthright. That was just a part of the culture. That's what happened. But Jacob, the younger twin, did not like that arrangement. And so he tricked his old blind father into giving him the blessing. And once the blessing was given, it was irrevocable. That was it. Esau shows up. He's not real happy about this. In fact, he could not contain his anger toward his brother. And he said, "I am going to kill him." Jacob had to hot-foot it out of town really fast. Now, this is a kind of twisted story. You're going to have to read it to get all the gory details. I'm going to give you some of them just to whet your appetite. Let me just say this. Jacob wound up with two wives, Leah and Rachel. And these two ladies, along with their personal maiden servants, bore Jacob 12 sons. Okay? 12 sons. There was also a daughter by Leah named Dinah, and something terrible happened to her. You'll have to read about that. We can't go into all of these things. And it also is kind of mentions there were some other daughters as well. But being a patriarchal system, it kind of focuses on the male line of the family. Okay, now remember this. God telling Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have descendants in large numbers. Okay, with these 12 sons and Lord knows how many daughters, they're getting a good start. God comes to Jacob and he says to him, I'm going to give you a new name. Isn't it interesting how God does that to people? He just comes and said, I'm going to give you another name. And he named him Israel. 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 And of course, the 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. They're our ancestors. But don't begin to think that God giving him the new name and all that sort of thing straightened things out. It didn't. Think again. I sometimes think that God may have thought this. I've made a big mistake. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm beside myself. I can't get these people shaped up. Do you ever wonder that he thinks that? Even now? Yeah. Rachel gave Jacob two sons. Joseph, the focus of our story today, and Benjamin, who was much younger. Now, Jacob loved Rachel. He loved her. And he could not stand the sight of his other wife or the two maidservants. He couldn't stand them. And not only that, he talked about it. I can't stand them, but I love Rachel. Okay, just think about what kind of situation that sets up. Because he loved Rachel, he adored his son Joseph. That was the apple of his eye. Joseph. He is my favorite son. And of course, the dad went around and telling everybody, including the other sons, he's my favorite. I love him the most. And so he got an idea. He said, I'm going to give him a beautiful coat. Now, in older translations, it's called the coat of many colors. In the more modern translations, they tone it down a little bit and give it long sleeves and a long hem to it, a royal coat. But I want to tell you something. Today I have the coat with me, okay? The coat.
The amazing Technicolor Dream Color. Actually, this was worn by Joseph. Joseph. The church I was at did a production of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dream Color over 30 years ago. And one woman in the congregation reading the story designed this coat. It's magnificent, isn't it? And I want to tell you, I'm going to have it up here. So at the end of the service, come up and try it on. Yeah, try it on. Take some selfies. Put them on the internet to help people. We talk about Joseph in church. And I'm Joseph, okay? So here it is.
This coat caused a lot of trouble. You see, Jacob the dad didn't have very good marital skills. He did not have very good parental skills either. And people look at him and think he should be in a stained window. Look, guys. Him giving that coat to Joseph would be the equivalent if you or I gave our favorite child a Corvette and said to the other 11, you can use the family car whenever it's available. It's that kind of setup. So in this family, this growing family, you will find jealousy, envy, and gossiping, hate, deception, an intent to kill, lying, cheating, ill will, and that's just some of the more admirable characteristics of the family. I'm going to push the pause button for just a moment and ask you something. Were you a favorite child? Were you? Or were you not the favorite child? Someone else was. I was the favorite child, well, actually the favorite grandchild of my maternal grandmother. The family knew it. It was pretty obvious. In fact, she's been dead for 30 years. They're still telling me about it. You were Meemaw's favorite grandchild. And yes, there was a special bond between us, and she was one I could always go to and talk things through with. But I never got an amazing Technicolor dream coat. What about jealousy? Do you have any jealousy in your family? And I'm not talking just the immediate nuclear family. I'm talking aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, whatever. Did somebody get something that really got your goat? Are there grudges in your family? Maybe just beneath the surface, but they're simmering there. Has a family member ever shut you out, cut you off, lopped you off from the family connection? Who in your family have you become most angry with? Let's look at this at a slightly different angle. Were you ever known as the cutest one? How about the smartest one? You know, whenever you use superlatives like this, how does this make the others feel? Were you ever labeled the moody one, the one hard to get along with? Or the lazy one, or the achiever, or even, this is the worst one of all, were you known as the beautiful one, the handsome one, as opposed to the others? My, you're beautiful, and then look at pity on the others. these negative labels that were happening in that family are not good, are they? They set us apart. They put wedges between us. But you know, when you stop and think about it, our spiritual ancestors, and look at that and what's going on, and then we look at our own families, I don't know that we're that much different. I'm not sure we're not, we are. I want to tell you a little more about Joseph, okay? Joseph's family, they were an agrarian family, and they had a lot of sheep. And the older brothers, not Joseph, but the 10 others, Benjamin neither, but the 10 others watched after this huge flock of sheep. And because of the number of them, they had to travel far away sometimes to find adequate pasturage and especially water. So they had to go a long, long way, and biblical scholars seem to think it was about 60 miles they had gone. And the dad got worried. He got worried. Jacob said, I wonder if there is peace with them. I wonder, peace meaning shalom, God's peace. Man, I'm glad to see this tender side of him. He was concerned about them. And so he says to Joseph, would you go and check on them and then come back and let me know? And Joseph says yes, but he makes a big mistake. He wears the coat. When his brothers see him coming, and of course you could spot that coat a mile off, they plot to kill him. However, Reuben, the oldest in the group, says, you know, fratricide doesn't sound real good to me. So when he gets there, they see a well that's dry, and they decide to throw him in the well. They take the coat off first, throw him in the well, and Reuben says, you know, he's going to die in there because he can never get out. So they have him in the well and take a little lunch break under some palm trees. And while they're having their lunch, they're along a major travel path between Egypt and countries north of that. And here comes some Ishmaelites. Ishmaelites. And they decide to sell Joseph to them. The Ishmaelites are going to Egypt, and they do that. They do that. And off Joseph goes in slavery to Egypt. The brothers take the amazing Technicolor dream coat, kind of rip it up, kill a goat and put blood all over it, and say, we're going to take this home and show it to Dad. And that's what they do. And they lay the evidence out there, the coat ripped and torn, spattered with blood, and they said, we think a wild beast must have killed him. Jacob is overcome with grief. His son, his favorite son, is dead. As he sobs inconsolably, the curtain comes down on Act One. Looking back at that story, and you can go back and read it because it's much longer than what we had today, but read it and you will notice that God is never mentioned in the Joseph story. But you can tell that the writer, the one who told the story originally, knew that God was there. God was there with God's people. You are my people, I will be your God. And although it might not be really obvious at first, you will see that God is still there. Yes, God had his hands full with Jacob and all the shenanigans with his family. Oh my goodness. But you know, I suspect he has the same problem with you and me and all the mess that's going on in our families and in the world. We have not lived up to the promise, the covenant. I will be your God. You will be my people, and your evidence of being my people. Often we too have not lived up to what God has expected of us. But God is not giving up on them, nor on you and me. And we will see how this works out next Sunday in Act 2.